There's a few things that get repeated in that passage. One is, you might have noticed, it says at least twice, he is risen. And that is, of course, why we're here today. But also twice, it's from two different voices. The words are said, do not be afraid. And so that's what we're going to be looking at and talking about today. Do not be afraid. You know, when someone says, no offense, but you know you're about to hear something offensive, don't you? Or when someone says, I don't mean to boast, but you know that there's a brag right around the corner. And when you hear the words, do not be afraid, spoken not once but twice to the same people but by two different individuals, then you know that there's a bit of fear in the room. There is something that someone has found to be afraid of. And we don't even have to read between the lines to know that there's fear on that day. Verse 4 says that on that day, out of fear of the angel, that the guards trembled and became like dead men. I guess it means they froze and passed out, just like you might expect to see in a movie. Now, I think this Easter message, do not be afraid, is a good message for us and our world today, because I reckon people are afraid. What makes me think that people are afraid? One thing, people are very, very angry. Don't you get the impression that that the outrage machine is in just excellent working order right now? People are very angry. And I'm told that there is a close connection between anger and fear. And I reckon I've felt it, and I wonder if you have as well. There was one day years ago, I was with my niece, who was only about 2 or 3 years old at the time. We were visiting a dairy. There was no one else around that we could see. And we knelt down beside a fence to pat one of the calves that was there. And so as we were patting the calf, we were just enjoying the serenity and enjoying ourselves. I stood up, and as I stood up, I felt something wallop me hard across the back of my shoulders. And all I could imagine was that someone was attacking us. You know, like out of a film, someone with a big plank of wood had just belted me across the back. And I felt instantly a deep, deep rage. I was furious that someone had attacked us. I turned around, ready to fight back, not only to protect myself, but also my young niece, to find that there was no one there at all, and I'd stepped back into an electric fence. That's what the pulse was, but it felt so much like I'd been attacked. But like I said, I'm told from doing a bit of reading, I've learnt that experts in human behaviour class anger and fear as opposite reactions to the same thing, to a sense of being threatened. When someone feels threatened, adrenaline kicks in, causing what you may have heard of as the fight or flight response. And so when you feel threatened, you either knuckle down for a fight in anger, or you want to run away and hide in fear. But it's the same thing to feel threatened. And so a week and a half ago, when the Australian rugby player Israel Folau made a post on his Twitter account about the kinds of people who he says have to worry about hell, whether you agree with his tone or his words or not, you have to admit that the reaction by the media and by many was one of an intense rage. Everyone just seemed furious by what he had said. And there could be a bunch of explanations for why people felt such an anger. But I think one explanation, it doesn't do all the work, but one explanation for all the anger is that maybe there was a sense of feeling threatened. That people's lifestyles or even just concern about hell and an afterlife were being challenged. And people are afraid. Like I say, I don't think that covers everything. But when you see just the knee-jerk reaction of rage across the world, I can't help wonder if there is just a sense of fear. In my work as an optometrist, I'm always learning about how frightened people are of getting older and of losing their eyesight. I now see that a good part of my job isn't just helping people with their eyes, but also just comforting them and encouraging them and helping them understand just a clear perspective, to reassure them that these changes are normal and that these changes will not necessarily lead to absolute blindness or anything like that. And these are just the people that I see, but what about the people whose fear leads them into denial and so they don't seek help from health professionals? And some of you might find this funny, but at the ripe old age of 32, I do feel like I'm starting to feel the first twinges of age, and I don't like it. And I can only imagine how the rest of you oldies must be feeling right now. Now, do the little signals of a failing body frighten you? You don't have all the time in the world. Your eyesight is changing. Your joints are suddenly responding to the weather. You have a hopelessly increasing waistline and you suddenly are depending on tablets to manage your blood pressure and cholesterol. Grey hairs are showing through, or maybe hairs are falling out. Does it frighten you? I don't know. I do know that for many it does. Have you heard any of these new words or phrases? Eco-anxiety, climate grief, climate change distress. Climate change warnings are pretty extreme, and psychologists are worrying that people are worrying themselves to death over it. There is a sense of fear. Now, I wonder what it is that frightens you. I suspect there's something for everyone. And some of the fears that are out there are real. Are you frightened of losing a loved one? Are you frightened of your teenager who's just gotten their license? Are you frightened about job security? Or maybe if you don't necessarily feel a sense of fear, what is it that either makes you angry, that fight response to feeling threatened, or what makes you want to live in denial, that flight response to feeling threatened? What makes you angry? Does talk about hell make you mad? Does the thought of child abusers out there in the world make you mad because you fear genuinely for the safety of your children? What makes you live in denial? Is it your health so that you don't seek help from professionals? Is it money so that you dread opening your bills and you keep spending what you know you don't have but just live in denial, hoping it will never catch up with you? Now, the words for today are do not be afraid. But even in today's passage, we see some people who have actually every reason to be afraid. Both the women and the guards are trembling with fear, but the guards receive no reassurance whatsoever. There's no one telling them not to be afraid. They should be very afraid. For them, the resurrection of Jesus is not good news at all. And if you glimpse at the brief passages either side of what we read today, you can smell their fear. So in chapter 27, verses 62 to 66, I'll give you the summary, but you can read it for yourself. The chief religious leaders hatch a plot to make sure that Jesus stays dead. Now, they're not worried that he will really rise. That is preposterous. People don't rise from the dead. Even people 2,000 years ago knew that for sure. But they are frightened that Jesus' faithful followers will steal his body from the tomb and pretend he is alive. And so they get permission from Pilate, the governor, to seal the tomb with a stone and to mount their own guard. Now, after the episode that we read in verses 1 to 10 today, when the angel frightens the guards almost to death and Jesus emerges alive from the tomb, we read from verses 11 to 15 how the terrified guards run into the city with the news of what they've seen, and the chief religious leaders convene again, and they come up with a pretty familiar plot to cover things up. They pay the guards with money for their silence, and they spin a yarn. They pretend that the body was stolen, which I can't help but find ironic, since the yarn that they spin is the very thing that they set the guard to prevent, the very news that they didn't want to get out, that they had stolen the body. In the passage, the only people who have reason not to fear are the people who are looking for Jesus, because he is alive and they will find him. The people who want Jesus to stay dead or stay away have every reason to be afraid. And so which one are you? Would you prefer that Jesus stays dead or stays away? Is that more convenient for you? Or are you searching for him? In which case you have good reason for hope. For the women in the story, when they start to feel their fear, you actually get the impression that for them, fear is an upgrade. Because before they felt fear, all they felt, I sense, is grief and hopelessness. In verse 1 of chapter 28, they are going to see a dead body. That's all they expect to find. They're not going with hope. They're not going with fear. They're just going with grief and sadness and hopelessness. Just resignation that their one and only hope was dead and dead for good. So when they are startled by the appearance of a heavenly visitor and frightened by seeing their Lord back from the dead, that kind of fear isn't all bad at all. Because where there is fear, there is life and there is hope. And in fact, you see, I can't remember the verse, verse 8. They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. You see actually a cocktail of emotions starting to brew. And so maybe for all our talk of fear, there's been something you've identified with, something that you yourself are afraid of. And maybe a little bit of afraid isn't such a terrible place to start. Because Christ's words may actually resonate with you if you can recognise some fear. When Christ says, do not be afraid. Now, why do we have no reason to be afraid? The reason is given in the passage each time when the words are spoken, do not be afraid. Verse 7, the angel says, or verse 5, sorry, on to 7, do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. They have no reason to be afraid because they are going to find the risen Jesus. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come. See the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. They have no reason to be afraid because Jesus, who they seek, is going to meet with them, as he promised. And then in verse 10, when Jesus himself appears to them, he says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Do not be afraid because Jesus will appear to you. He has come to you. And in verse 20, the final verse of the passage and the final words that we have recorded from Jesus to his followers, he says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Do not be afraid. Well, I think we arrive back at where we were before. The people who want Jesus to stay dead or stay away still have every reason to be very afraid. But the people who are looking for Jesus no longer have any reason to fear because he is risen and he promises to be with you forever. Now, I don't know any other single truth that can answer every other single fear that you or I might have. Now, the truth that Jesus is risen may not instantly fix every problem. It may not make every situation that you face go away. But at least in the now, knowing that Christ is risen and knowing that he is with you does mean that in the now you can hold on to hope. And in the future, there is something to look forward to. It puts things into perspective, doesn't it, across time, that things will change. That the pain and the suffering and the fear that you may feel for now has a time stamp on it. And time is running out. Because Christ will return. Christ is with you. He is with you forever to the end of the age. And he is with you so you're not alone. And he has, in fact, bought the final victory because he is risen even from death. And so I think the message for us this Easter, or I hope that you can get something out of that, that you and I have no reason at all to be afraid because Christ is risen. And he is risen indeed. So let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that we have no need to be afraid. Lord, we know that that doesn't stop our sensation of fear. We know that things still exist that are bound to make us nervous or worry or to be afraid. We know that things will still happen in this life that we won't like and that will unsettle us and challenge us. But Father, we thank you that we can put all of those in perspective as we know that in the end, for all eternity, to the end of the age, Christ is with us. He has beaten death. He has beaten sin. All that is wrong will pass away and all that is right will endure forever. So, Father, we pray that you will help us to see all our trials through this lens of hope, to know that there is no need for fear, but that Christ is risen. Amen.